Good morning, and we have an opportunity now to spend some time in God's Word, and I'm grateful for your presence. We have several that are visiting and related to our members here, and we're glad that you've come to visit family, and for all of our visitors, we're certainly thankful for your presence. We hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. In the scripture reading that we have here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want us to begin there for our lesson this morning, where the Apostle Paul talks about taking hold on life eternal. Let's talk a little bit this morning about laying hold or taking hold on life eternal. Have you ever had to grab something very firmly, had to grasp it very firmly, to seize it, to hold on to it in a very tight way? There have been times in my life, maybe the men can appreciate this, where you're on one end of a couch. A couch needs to be moved. So we need a couple of men to move a couch, and you grab one end of that. You're holding on to it pretty firmly. There have been times where I've had to move a washer and dryer or a refrigerator on a dolly, and you better hold that dolly very firmly when you're going up and down that ramp on a U-Haul truck or whatever. You let that thing go, somebody's going to get hurt, and you're going to break a really nice appliance. There are times when you have to grasp and hold on to things very, very tightly. This is what we're talking about this morning. Maybe you hold on to something tightly because it's near and dear to you. Maybe you hold on to something tightly because it's expensive. Maybe you hold on to something tightly because you don't want to drop it on your foot, or whatever the case might be. There's a number of reasons why we have grasped or held on to something very tightly. I remember when I was in high school outside of San Antonio, Texas, there was a member of the church, big man, taller than I am, much broader than I am, and he worked on a dude ranch. He was a rancher. They raised horses. They bred horses, raised horses, and they broke horses. And he was a very big man. And I remember one time going out to visit them on the ranch, and he was showing me around, and they were breaking horses. And a horse can drag a man around very easily, very easily. But his name was Hump Davis. They called him Hump because his shoulders were massive and his back was massive. He was just this big old dude. His hands were gigantic. And he would put a rope on that horse, on the halter, and it was jerking around. It didn't move old Hump Davis. He was holding on tight, and that horse could not move him. He's such a big man. You hold on to things tightly, and it's very important that we do that. There is nothing more important than life than taking hold of life eternal. That's just another way of saying become a Christian and live faithfully as a Christian. Now, eternal life is now, and then one day it'll be in heaven, and you've got to take hold of that as tightly as you can, because there's so many forces today that are trying to yank that out of your hands. That's our lesson this morning. Let's talk about laying hold on life eternal. I want our young people to hear this lesson because I see from time to time young people that are falling away from becoming a faithful Christian. I see even older folks doing that as well. They're not holding on very tight. They're not holding on very tight. They might think they are, but there's a force out there that is stronger than they are, and it's just yanking it out of their hands. We've got to seize it, to lay hold on it. So look at what Paul says there in verse 12 of our reading. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal. First of all, I want us to notice this morning that this idea of taking hold and laying hold, it goes along with the things that are mentioned here in this context. Paul is writing to Timothy, and it would apply to all Christians, but you, O man of God, flee these things. What things? Well, he had just been talking about the love of money. So things like that you need to run away from. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. fight the good fight of the faith. This is a spiritual fight, of course. This is a spiritual fight. And then lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto you were called and did confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. When we stand up and we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we're baptized into Christ, at that moment, we lay hold on life eternal. My question is, how strong are we holding on to that? What kind of a firm grasp do we have of that? There's some older Christians here this morning that have been Christians for decades. They're clearly holding on to life eternal. They're not going to let that go, and that's a good an example and an encouragement for us. But it's a part of these things. It's a part of being a Christian. It's a part of fighting the good fight of the faith. It's a part of being a faithful Christian, following Christ, fighting for the cause of Christ, fleeing from sinful things and worldly things. We've got to lay hold on life eternal. And it's a great sentiment. And the word that Paul uses here is a word that means it's a standard word for to take hold of something, but he puts a prefix on the front of it to heighten the mannerism of what's going on. It's not just, you know, lightly grab something, but seize it and grip it firmly. You know, there's some things in life that we don't grip firmly. There's some things in life that you have a softer grip on it. It might break if you squeeze it too hard. You might put some sort of an imprint in it if you press too hard. There's some things in our home, maybe something that is fine or delicate, that we don't want to grab very hard. But in this case, we're supposed to just really grab onto it. You know, if someone is being arrested for breaking the law, typically the law enforcement will really hold on to them. They don't just come up and, hey, you know, pat them on the shoulders. Hey, you want to come over here with me? And they just sort of real light and delicate about that. Just the word arrest often has this connotation of grabbing very firmly. There are times, maybe you've seen rescues on TV. Someone is falling under the ice or someone is being swept away. I saw this earlier in the summer when all the floods were out in Kerrville, Texas. And you'll see somebody being taken away by the flood, and here comes the helicopter, and they let down the rescue crew, and boy, they grab hold of them hard, and they hold onto them firmly, and pull them up out of the water. There's times when you've got to do that to rescue someone or to arrest someone. That's what we're talking about here. It's not a time for a light touch. Being a Christian is not a time for a light touch. Paul says it's a time for seizing. And we certainly live in a time and in a world where that is absolutely necessary. We can seize, and it can be seized now. We need to obey the gospel while there's an opportunity. We don't need to delay. And after we're baptized into Christ and we make that good confession, verse 12, we need to continue living faithfully and not let any source take that away from us. It can be seized, and it can be seized now. Paul is telling Timothy in verse 12 to do this in the present tense. Eternal life, we commonly think of that as heaven. But eternal life starts the moment that you become a Christian. Jesus said on a number of occasions in the book of John, if you believe on me, and he was talking in the present tense, if you believe on me, you have, present tense, eternal life. It starts now. It's a quality of life that we have now as a Christian. And of course it extends into heaven. But it can and must be seized now. There are people that need to become Christians, and maybe we have family members or friends or acquaintances that we know of, and they're old enough to become a Christian, but they won't do that. They don't see the need to seize that now, to hold on to that now. They just don't see that. And we've got to help them to see the importance of that, the importance of being a Christian now. I find it interesting that so many people, boy, they'll really take hold of things on life, in life, they'll really seize that, but to be a Christian, they're not interested in that. So we've got to help them to see the importance of that. And we understand that we are responsible. Young people, your parents can't do this for you. I'm glad to have had parents that were faithful Christians. I'm glad to have been raised in that home. And many of you have parents or grandparents that are godly Christians, and that's a great thing. But listen, you are responsible to seize and take hold of eternal life. Paul told Timothy to do that. He can't just say, well, my mom and dad will do that for me. They'll go to church for me. My mom and dad will do this, and they'll read the Bible for me. I'll let them read the Bible. I'll let them become a Christian. I'll let them obey the gospel. I'll let them go to church. No, I need to do that. I'm responsible for doing that. And I've got to see the value of being a Christian before it's too late. And when I truly see the value of that, I'm going to grab it. Boy, if you went out here in town and you gathered up a bunch of non-Christians and you had a table out there and you put $1 million on that table and just walked away, somebody would come up and grab that, right? Why? They see the value of that. They're going to grab that and not let that go. We've got to help people see the value of being a Christian so they'll seize that and grab that. And you're responsible. I'm glad to have had parents to help me along the way. But my parents cannot seize eternal life for me. I've got to do that myself. And so these are some things by way of introduction that are very important for us to see. Now, turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 19, the second place where Paul uses this word in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, lay hold on life eternal. And then come down with me to verse 16 where Paul brings it up again. And we're going to start our reading in verse 17. And we're going to make a point that taking hold of eternal life comes by godly Christian conduct. It's not just some theory. It's not just something we think about or muse about. It actually is accomplished by daily, godly, Christian living. And we're going to come back to this at the end of the lesson. It's not something that you Google, how do I lay hold on life eternal? And you've got this sort of mental list out there. I get out and I actually engage in real, godly living. Look at verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this present world. And by the way, that's brethren. These are going to be brethren that Timothy would have been preaching to at Ephesus. That they be not high-minded, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, pass out, share their wealth with others, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Look at this. That they may lay hold, same word, on the life which is life indeed. How were they laying hold on life? By sharing their goods with others. It's not some magical thing that we do. It's not some mystical thing. It's not some hard thing. Well, Brother Reeves, how do I lay hold on life eternal? I bet it's so high I can't even do it. No, just share what you have with others. That's a good start right there. Did you notice in verse 19 that laying hold comes by just daily practical conduct, Christian conduct, being a giver, being a sharer. And Paul said when they do that, they will lay hold on the life indeed. Did you notice that in verse 19? It's called the life indeed. In other words, true life. Everybody has life. We all have lives this morning. We're all breathing. We're all walking around. We ride in our car. We all have lives. But the Christian life, listen, the Christian life is the life indeed. It's the true life. It's the real life that God wants to have for us. When we talk right and dress right and act right and live right, that's the true life. And it comes by laying hold on that, and Paul says, by just simple Christian sharing. So godly Christian conduct is the way in which I lay hold on life indeed. And then one more point, and we'll get to the body of our lesson, and that is that we need to understand that the Scripture teaches that life eternal can be lost. Our denominational friends who teach once saved, always saved, are teaching a doctrine that's not in the Word of God. we can fall from grace, Galatians 5:4 and Hebrews 12:15. There are some people who are not interested in today's lesson because they don't think they're going to be lost anyway. Once you're saved, you're always saved. No, we can fall from grace. We can fall short of the grace of God, Hebrews 12 and verse 15. So we have to take hold on life eternal so that we do not fall. Have you ever done that before? You're walking along and you trip or stumble. Maybe you're out on a trail. Maybe you're over here at Dunbar State Park and you're walking around and you feel like you're going to stumble a little bit and there might be a rail or something nearby and you grab hold of that. When you grab hold of that, is it kind of a light touch or do you really hold on to it? You hold on to it hard because you don't want to fall. And that's the point, brethren. We can fall from grace, and so we've got to grab hold onto something hard and firm so that we do not do that. Well, I'd like to illustrate this morning in our lesson what it means to lay hold, to take hold. What does that mean? Well, let's look at a few things. First of all, to take hold speaks of urgency and assurance. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. We're just going to see how this word is used, different places in the New Testament. Turn with me to Matthew 14. Do you remember when Peter wanted to walk on the water with Jesus during that storm on the lake, and Peter wanted to walk on the water? Do you remember that? Matthew chapter 14, verse 29. And Peter went down from the boat and walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and then here's the word, took hold of him. Seized him, grabbed him firmly, took hold of him, and said unto him, "O thou little faith, where didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the boat, the wind ceased. Why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus seize Peter, this epilambano, to take hold of, but in an intensive way? Why did he do that? Because of the urgency. Peter is sinking in the water. This is not something to play around with. If you were out in a boat and someone was going under the water and they were about to drown and you reached down in and grabbed them, you wouldn't grab them lightly. You would grab them firmly. It speaks of urgency. It speaks of urgency. And Peter, no doubt, felt this assurance when Jesus is pulling him up. What a great feeling that would be. Look at the text in verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Why immediately? Because it's an urgent situation. You don't play around with a drowning. And so number one, we've got to see the urgency of eternal life. It's a serious thing. We just get one life, friends. We just get one life. We get one life to live the Christian life. And time is short, and we don't know when our time is up. We don't know when the Lord is coming. Do you view being a Christian as an urgent thing? If something is urgent, you'll take hold of it. You won't play around with that. And so I want us to notice this morning that urgency often drives one to seize another person. Urgency. And we need to see that in being a faithful Christian. There is no other life to live that is worthwhile. We can't play around with it. We can't just say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to worry about that whole Christian thing." Our spouse needs to be a Christian. I need to be a Christian. We can't play with that. And if we have to have uncomfortable conversations, let's do that. It's urgent. Let me ask you this. Is hellfire urgent? That's pretty urgent. That's pretty urgent. And so if someone is headed there, I need to help them to become a Christian. And so urgency demands that I take hold and seize some things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 21. There's some examples there. Sometimes the Apostle Paul in his ministry was seized. Do you remember when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem when he got back from his last preaching trip? Verse 31, they were seeking to kill him. They were seeking to kill him. And forthwith he took soldiers and centurions and ran down upon them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left off beating Paul. Then the chief captain came near and laid hold on him, seized him, and commanded him to be bound with two chains and inquired, who he was and what he had done. That soldier rescued Paul. He's being beaten to death. They wanted to kill him. The Roman doesn't walk up and say, "Well, that poor guy, the guy's getting beat up." You know, they're just standing around. No, they grab him. They grab him and they take him away. And as they're taking him up the steps, that's when Paul wants to do that preaching in that great sermon in chapter 22. But why did this individual, why did this captain come near and lay hold on him? It's urgent. The guy's being beaten to death. Brethren, can we see the urgency? We find the same thing in chapter 23 and verse 19. Turn with me there. Do you remember when there was a Jewish plot to kill Paul? Jews did not like Paul and they wanted him assassinated. So there's this assassination plot in Acts chapter 23. Do you remember Paul's nephew came and told Paul, "Hey, there's these Jews that want to kill you." And Paul says, "Well, you need to go to the chief captain." So look at verse 18. "So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, 'Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and asked me to bring this young man unto thee who has something to say.' And the chief captain took him by the hand, literally seized him." Hey, come over here. What's going on? Tell me what's going on. And the young man says, "Hey, these Jews are going to assassinate Paul." And as a result, Paul is given an escort so that he'll be protected. When there are serious moments and urgency demands it, we take hold of something. And we need to do that with our life as a Christian. We can't play around with that. And so any force in your life today, brethren and friends, that is trying to pull you away, you see the urgency of the matter and you don't allow that to happen. Let's look at another thing. Turn back with me to Mark chapter 8. Sometimes taking hold speaks of compassion and care. Someone you love, someone you're concerned about, someone you want to help. Our mothers here today, you're gonna hold on to that child very firmly, aren't you, in certain situations, maybe when you're out and about. You don't want someone to take your child. You don't want someone to hurt your child or do something to your child. A mother will grasp that child very firmly. Why? Because of care and concern and love and compassion. Well, we need to have that same attitude toward our being a Christian. We need to be so caring and concerned about me being a Christian that I'm not going to let anything take that from me. This happens sometimes when Jesus was healing different people. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, when he was near Bethsaida, and they brought him a blind man, beseeching him to touch him. Jesus took hold of the blind man, seized him, and brought him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands upon and asked him, "Seest thou aught?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I behold them as trees walking." Then again he laid his hands upon his eyes and looked steadfastly and was restored and saw all things clearly. And he went away to his home, saying, "Do not even enter into the village." Later in Luke chapter 14, when he healed a man with palsy, the text says on the Sabbath day, he took hold of him. Why? Jesus cared about these people. And no one else can heal the blind and the sick. And Jesus grabbed them, if you will. He seized them. He loved them. He wanted to help them. And what a great thing that is. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Do you remember when Paul had become a Christian? And the brethren at Jerusalem didn't know that he had been converted. Do you remember that? Who helped that situation? He wanted to become and join those members there at Jerusalem. Look at Acts 9 and verse 26. He attempted to join himself, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Look at Barnabas. We need to be Barnabases today in the Lord's church. Barnabas took him, seized him, and brought him to the apostles and declared how that he had seen the Lord and so forth. Why did Barnabas do that for dear old Paul? Because he loved him and he cared for him. And they will be workers throughout their life as a result of that. We've got to have so much care and compassion for our service to Christ that we're not going to let anything stand in the way. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Do you know that you and I are here today because Jesus became a man and died on the cross for us. He cared for us. He was concerned for us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. This verse is actually very interesting to me from a word study standpoint. For verily not to angels does he, Jesus, take hold. It's translated help. He doesn't take hold of angels, but he gives help. He takes hold to the seed of Abraham. I love that. If you back up in the reading, you'll see that Jesus became a man so that he could come and die on the cross and understand what we're going through, die on the cross. And he wants to take hold of us, if you will. It's translated help. He's not doing that with angels. He's doing that with you and me. Why? Because he cares. And then last of all, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8. What did God do with the Israelites when they were in Egypt? Look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9. What did God do with those who were in Egypt? Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. In the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. When I seized them, God seized the Israelites. He held on to them and brought them out of the land of Egypt. He wasn't going to let Pharaoh get them. He wasn't going to let the Red Sea stand in the way. He wasn't going to let any problem. He took hold of the Israelites, seized them, and brought them out of Egypt. Well, what a great figure that is. Why? Because he loved them and cared for them and was concerned for them. You're not going to have my Israelite family, Pharaoh. You're not going to have my Israelite family, Pharaoh's army. You can't have them. I'm sorry. What a beautiful figure that is in chapter 8, verse 9. And so, hopefully today, we have that same attitude toward serving Christ. We are so caring and concerned about that, we're not going to let anything stand in the way. You know, taking hold speaks of deliberate action, where you have a plan and you know what you want to do. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9 on one of the occasions when Jesus used a child to teach a lesson that we need to become like little children and receive the kingdom like little children. There was a reasoning among the apostles as to who was the greatest, but when Jesus saw the reasoning of their heart, he took a little child. Literally, he laid hold of one. Hey, come over here. Come over here. I'm going to use you for just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Jesus had a deliberate plan to use this child to teach us that we've got to be like little children in coming into the kingdom. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. Do you remember when Jesus was carrying the cross for a little ways? He was able to carry it for a while. And he stumbled under the load. He had already been beaten and scourged, and much of his energy was already robbed from him before they even put the cross on him. He was able to carry it for a while, but he couldn't carry that for a while. And after a while, look at what the text says. What did the Romans do with this man, Simon of Cyrene? But when they led him away, they laid hold, seized upon one Simon of Cyrene coming from the country and laid on him the cross to bear it. Hey, get over here. Grab Simon. Carry this cross. And a Roman soldier, of course, had the authority to do that. Deliberate action. This is something that's going to be done. And brethren, we need to take that attitude toward our Christianity. It needs to be deliberate. We need to have determination. You can't have my Christianity. We need to have a tenacity in our life. We need to have a tenacity. No, world, you can't have it. Devil, you can't have it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give it to you. Let us have that determination and that tenacity in our life. It's the person who doesn't have that eventually it gets robbed from them in some way. You cannot have my Christianity. I am so determined and so deliberate about it. I get up each day. Christianity is not something, a fringe thought out here on the side. Literally, when I get up, the entire day is a deliberate decision from the moment I get up to serve the Lord. It's a deliberate, determined decision. I'm not a Church of Christer that just warms a pew. I don't just go through some motions. It's a 24/7, 7 day a week, 365 days out of the year, determined, deliberate decision to serve the Lord. And you can't have that. Work, employer, you can't have that. Nope. School, you can't have that. Neighbors and friends, you can't steal that from me. Friends and family, nope, can't have it. I'm serving the Lord. And it's my deliberate decision to do that. And I'm going to lay hold on that. And that will serve us so well in life. Do you know that taking hold also speaks of careful concentration? Turn with me to Luke chapter 20. Here's a negative sense in which it is used. Jesus would often teach in crowds, and many people in the crowds did not like him. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to hear his message and change. All they were trying to do was see if they could catch him saying something. And you'll see that happening today. People don't want to change based upon the truth of something. They just want you to say something so you can attack it. That goes on all the time, even today. So look at what the text says. There were people in the crowd, Luke chapter 20 and verse 20. They watched him and sent forth spies who feigned or faked. They were hypocritical. They feigned themselves to be righteous that they might take hold of his speech. All they want to do is catch him saying something where they can take a word, so they're listening very carefully, not for the truth in order to change their lives, but they're concentrating very carefully. Let's see if he'll say a word, and then I can twist that against him somehow. Maybe I can twist it and get him crossed up with the Romans. Maybe I can do that. Maybe I can hear him say something and get him twisted up with the law of Moses. Maybe I can get him to do that. So they're going to try to listen carefully to take hold of his words. Why? So as to deliver him up to the rule and to the authority of the governor. Yeah, that's why we're listening to Jesus, not because we want to change. Well, it didn't work. Look at verse 26. And they were not able to take hold, seize of the saying before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Well, what a shame that people were listening in this way. I appreciate their careful concentration, but it was in the wrong way. But today, brethren, we need to have that same care and that concern and that careful concentration. They were hanging on every little word. Let's see if I can catch something. But can we have that same careful concentration in a good way in our service to Christ? There are things around the house that we're really careful about. Make sure that this is right and this is fixed and this is in its place and that's repaired and every. Do we do that with our Christianity? Do we even do that with our soul? Have we had the same careful concentration on, you know, I need to be baptized into Christ and I need to live faithfully each day? Do we have that same care and concentration? We need to have that same meticulous, careful concentration for our life as a Christian. And we'll serve the Lord the way He wants us to serve Him. And then last of all, turn with me to Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. We'll close with these examples. There are times in Paul's life when he was preaching the gospel and many people didn't like him for doing that. And they lay hold on him. They would lay hold on him. They didn't like him. They had such a strong desire to get rid of him and get rid of the truth that they would do whatever it takes to do that. Whatever it takes to silence the truth. Do you remember in Acts chapter 16 after Paul had taken the evil spirit out of this woman? This woman was being used by her masters. She was ravaged by this evil spirit. She's a soul. She's a woman. She's a good person. And she's messed up because of the devil. And Paul comes and takes that evil spirit out of her. You would think that people would be happy. Nope, we don't like that. We don't like what Paul did. And her masters saw that their gain or their money was gone. And so what did they do, verse 19? When her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they didn't care about her as a person. They're just making money off of her. They laid hold on Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers, and we know how that they're later put in prison.
We don't like this guy. Grab him. Take him away.
This strong desire to not have the truth present in one's life. We find it, turn with me to Acts 17 and verse 19. We find the same attitude in Athens when Paul is preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. They took hold of him, they seized him and brought him unto the Areopagus or Mars Hill, and they wanted to know what he was saying, and he preached that great sermon on Mars Hill. Look at Acts chapter 18 and verse 17 when Paul was in Corinth. And a new church had gotten started there. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, and others had believed and they were baptized, and the church at Corinth gets started. Well, some of the Jews don't like that. So they take Paul and they brought him before the judgment seat, verse 12. They don't like the truth that is being preached. And then in verse 17, unfortunately, Sosthenes got the bad end of their strong desire. And in verse 17, they all laid hold or seized on Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of these things. And then in chapter 21, in verse 30, where we were earlier, when Paul had come into the temple, some of the Jews had supposed that he had brought a Gentile into the temple, and they ran together and they laid hold on Paul. Verse 30, and dragged him out of the temple, and straightway the doors were shut, and as they were seeking to kill him. Fortunately, someone else laid hold on him and saved him. But brethren, what we're seeing here is a strong desire that is stirring people up to grab someone. Of course, all of these are in the wrong way. But can we have that same strong desire as a Christian to lay hold on life eternal and not let it go? As we close this morning, I just want to make a couple of observations and then the lesson is yours. First of all, it is necessary that we start with the knowledge of what is real. If you go out here, we got a great sunny day. If you go out here and you see some shadows, the church building will be casting a shadow, the trees will be casting a shadow and some other things. Go out there and try to lay hold on a shadow. Try to grab a shadow. See if you can do that. You're not going to be able to do that. We don't grab hold of things that we can't grab hold of. And our young people are living in a world where they're told, well, there is no God and Jesus is not the Son of God and the Bible's not the Word of God. We've got to help our young people start by grabbing hold of what is real. They've got to know the evidence that there is a God, that Jesus is the divine Son of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. We've got to start with the knowledge of the real. You can't grab hold of a shadow. You've got to grab onto what is real, what is there. And we've got to help, especially the younger generations, to do that. We're not talking about grabbing onto myths and legends and fairy tales and fantasies. You can't grab onto that. But there is evidence for the existence of God and Jesus through the resurrection and the Bible being the inspired Word of God, and we've got to start with that. And we've got to help them see that you can actually grab onto the real. And then, as I said at the beginning, it is absolutely necessary that we engage in just personal, godly, Christian activities. That's how you lay hold on life eternal. It's not something mystical or mysterious, but all of us go out this morning and just practice daily activities. Our attendance. Every time we're here, you know what happens every time you're here? You're laying hold on life eternal. Every time you take the Lord's Supper, every time you give your contribution, every time you sing and you study the Word of God, you're laying hold on life eternal. Our attendance and being here and going through the worship service is important. Our Bible study, we encourage, the elders encourage, daily Bible reading. Do you know what you're doing every time you read your Bible? You're laying hold on life eternal. The more you read, the less someone is going to be able to yank that from your hand. That's why we also pray all the time, and we associate with other Christians. Associate with other Christians at Warfield Boulevard or other places. Every time you do that, you're laying hold on life eternal. The less you do these things, the weaker it is in your hands, and it'll be taken away from you. I've seen it, brethren, so many times. A person has been a Christian a few years, and it's just taken away from them. They're not doing the things to lay hold and seize it. I beg you to do that. And go out and do good works and acts of love and stay active in the local church. Volunteer for things in and out of the building. Every day you do those things, you're laying hold on life eternal. The less you do those things, the weaker it is in our hands, and the devil just pulls it away. What a great thought. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. What a great thought that Paul said to Timothy, lay hold on life eternal. You have an opportunity this morning to do that. There may be someone here this morning that needs to become a Christian for the very first time. We can help you to be baptized into Christ. When we sing this song of encouragement, step forward and let's talk about that, and we can baptize you into Christ. There may be someone here this morning that you've seen it slipping away from your hands. It's just slowly kind of slipping away. You see it. It's just, oh, it's just out of your grasp. And maybe you even want it back. Here's your chance to do it. Grab it before it's too gone. But for those of you here this morning that are living these faithful Christian lives, lay hold on life eternal. What a grand and glorious thing you'll be rewarded for in the end. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?